Thank you, Mickey. I appreciate you jumping in on short notice. Marvin, this morning, I didn't give anybody any notice, so actually my voice is doing much better than it sounded like the last couple of days. So we're in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, and I'm pretty positive it's not COVID, so don't be too afraid. This is the third time I've had this winter, which is really weird, so we're going to go get it checked out. We're going to see if we can find out if there's an underlying cause, but I was tested last time, and it wasn't COVID, so it's just this silly stuff. But I think everything's COVID anymore, isn't it? If you cough, it's COVID. Hebrews 13. Going to be reading verses 7 through 9 today. Hebrews 13, 7 through 9. Remember those who led you and spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who are so occupied were not benefited. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for giving us your word, Lord. There's just, we can never, ever thank you enough that we are so privileged here in this country to have your word of truth right in front of us. And we don't have to hide it. We don't have to sneak it in. Lord God is in so many places. But Father, we have it openly and we have it freely. We can speak of it out in the open marketplace and not be in trouble. So far, most places. Father God, I know that there are those places where it's starting to be a problem, or it has been, but Lord, it's going to even increase from that. But that shouldn't shock us, because Father God, your word says people have hated you, they'll hate us. Father, your truth is not a pleasant truth to those who want to live by their flesh. It's a hard truth, because Father, it involves following you, it involves service to you, it involves loving others, it involves giving up our rights, ourself. Thank you so much that we can depend upon you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we get to this place in Hebrews, what we've come through, the writer of Hebrews is seeking to help the people understand that Christ is superior to any religious system, especially to the one they came out of and the one that many of them are seeking to go back under. Because of persecution, there has been persecution that has come upon the church, upon this group, and they were frightened because of that. They were apprehensive. And there were those from outside of it, the Judaizers, who would come and they said, you know, it's okay to have Christ, but you need to also follow the religious system. You need to come back under the religious system so that you can take care of have the Ten Commandments. You got all the ceremonies. You have all of the rites and traditions that the religious system had with all of our thousands of years of history. And the problem is those thousands of years of history, we're looking forward to a Christ. We're looking forward to the Christ who has come. So the writer is seeking to show the superiority of Christ over the prophets, over the angels, over Moses, over all of the things that were important to the religious Jew. But he also says that now the true problem isn't what's going on vertically. The true problem is that there's unbelief. We find that out in chapter 6. He says there's unbelief and you need to go on to believe. And he reiterates that over and over and over in this epistle. says you need to go to the end, go to believe, go on to believe. You already know about Christ. You've experienced a lot of stuff in Christ. You've seen him work in the midst, but you need to go on and finish. You need to go on and believe. So he shows them the priesthood of Christ, because they were wanting to get under the priesthood again. He says the ultimate priesthood is Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate priest. He's the eternal priest. And he gives a comparison of the old covenant and the new. The chapters 8 through 10 is a wonderful chapters on the comparison of that being under the law and being under grace. Then he goes on and talks about faith. He gives a description of faith, a definition, you might say. And then he goes and talks about the people of faith. And then he ends up with a warning them what the basic last time warning. And yet he goes on and reiterates it even in this chapter some. But he says, look, you need to go on to completion. You need to go on and trust Christ. Now, he's not talking to all of them. Some of them had. But he is speaking to those who were wanting to leave the faith and go back under that old religious system, just to make sure that, number one, they were all right, but number two, that they would be out of persecution, and it was more for their comfort, more for their well-being, what they thought their well-being was. So he gives them a warning to come back. But then he goes on in chapter 13. What we're looking at is some admonitions that he gives. He gives them to Christians, but part of this, as we're going to see this week and next week, he's talking about those who are still teetering. But he gives admonitions, and he says to brotherly love, he says to love the brethren, and then hospitality, show hospitality, and then talks about the prisoners, helping the prisoners, and then the spouses, your spouse, your family, taking care of that aspect, and then to have your character free from the love of money. We looked at that last week. What we're going to look at this week is to, excuse me, is to remember where you've come from. And the basic underlying principle here is going to be to have the correct doctrine, the correct teaching. And we're going to see that as we get into this. But he says, to begin with, he says in verse 7, after he has already talked about having your character free from the love of money, about the fact that the Lord is my helper, man can't do anything to me. What can he do? He can take away my money. He can take away my life. And where is that going to put me? In the presence of God. So he says, remember those who have led you in verse 7. Remember those who have led you. And the word remember means to be mindful of or to think of. And feel for a person. It's a word that is not just, it doesn't just mean recall. Okay, when we say remember something, we think, oh, well, we're supposed to recall that date. Remember to put this on your calendar. All right, but that's not the word that's used here. The word that's used here actually means to, not just to recall, but to remember the experience. Remember the feelings and the experience and the whole nature of this relationship that you had, because he's talking about those who led them. And the problem, again, that he's addressing is the purity of doctrine, not sacrificing true doctrine for the pleasant or the passing pleasures or the comfort level, which is what they wanted to do because of the persecution coming. Wednesday night. Last Wednesday we had youth group and the I guess the conclusion or the basis of the whole study that we did was the basis of truth. The basis of truth that we have. Because there's a lot of, especially today, and I feel that for the kids, and that's why I wanted to touch on it for the kids on Wednesday night, but there's a lot today that says, you know, truth is relative. It's relative. It's just whatever you feel at the time, you know? Or it's however you want to think at the time. And the problem with that is that's not God's truth. We have God's truth. Truth is not relative. It is subjective to who God is. And God is truth. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth. He is the truth. And we have God's truth. So my point Wednesday night, and what I want to reiterate with the kids and to build them up in, is the fact that truth is in the Word of God. And our standard has to be the Word of God. It cannot be how I feel, what I think, my knowledge, whatever. It has to be come back to the Word of God. And that's where we're going to come today, and I want to show you that. Because he says, remember those who led you. And by the way, this has happened over and over and over in Scripture, where the people got off track with truth. It happened in Galatians. Remember? Why did Paul write Galatians? He says, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting the gospel for what is just a false gospel. Right? So he wrote that for them. If you look at Romans, you see the reason he writes that. In Hebrews, what we're looking at over and over is the fact that they're wanting to leave the truth for their own comfort level. But you also have 1 John, which was written for Gnosticism. It was a variation of truth. It wasn't the whole truth. It was a variation of truth, and that's the problem. Satan is smart. And it's so easy to mislead us. So easy to mislead folks because what Satan does in every cult, you look at every cult, you will see that they use part of Scripture, a piece of Scripture, but they don't go on to the whole of Scripture. They use part of it to manipulate people to their ends. So it's a misuse of Scripture, so it's not the whole truth. So it's so easy to mislead unless we know the Word. But look what he says here. He says to remember that experience you had, to bring that back into your life, those who led you, who spoke the Word of God to you. Those who led you. He's speaking about those leaders who had originally helped them, who had originally brought them in, or their parents. I'm pretty sure this is written to a second generation church. In other words, their parents had been the ones who started the church, who grew, and they were the ones who probably saw Christ and heard his teachings. And they had started this work. They had started this church. And yet these folks were saying, you know what, it's great and it worked really good, but those Judaizers are saying, yeah, it's great to have Christ and to have Jesus and all, but we need to incorporate him into our religious system because that's been there. That's solid, been there for thousands of years. All right? And the problem with that was that system pointed to Christ. It pointed to Christ. And it had it all through it. And all of the ceremonies and all the rites and all the sacrifices, everything was pointing to Jesus Christ. And now they had the truth. And they were wanting to go back under that system because they had not accepted that truth. And he says here, remember those who led you. Remember those who led you. The ones who had probably died. In fact, we're going to see that that's true coming up here. They had probably died and they possibly were even martyred. In fact, most likely, they were martyred for their faith. But look what they did. He said, don't just remember about them. Don't just recall them, but remember, experience the fact that they spoke the Word of God to you. They spoke the Word of God to you. Now, if you get nothing else, get this point. Catch this point. This is so important that we catch this. They spoke the truth of God's word. They spoke the truth of God's word. That's why, you know, I'm not huge on telling you what to do from the pulpit. I know there's a lot of pastors that use a lot of application. I don't. Because I figure you have the same Holy Spirit that I have in me. And if you know the truth of God's word, the Holy Spirit can apply it in your life. I can't tell you how the Holy Spirit's going to apply it in your life. You might learn something from this message. I have no intention of teaching you. Because the Holy Spirit in you is taking God's word, God's truth, and using it in your life in an area that I don't even know you're living.
He might be moving in your life to minister to someone that I don't even know you know. So I can't tell you what to do with this, but I can tell you the truth of this. I can tell you what the word says. And these leaders had done that with these people. Here they had given them the truth. And their problem is they weren't going on to the end of that truth. In fact, he says, look what he says. He says, they've spoken the word of God to you. And considering the result of their conduct, they kept their focus on the word. They lived it as well, because it says considering. The word considering says it means to look closely at or observe attentively. Really observe attentively what? The result of their conduct. The end. The outcome. That's the word. Of their conduct. Their life. Their walk. The outcome or issue of their manner of life. Now, it's an interesting word. Chris and I were going over the word walk. I think it was in, what, 1 John and 2 Peter. We were looking at the word a walk, a Christian's walk or a non-Christian's walk. The life, you know, the way we behave was the word. This is not that word. It's not the same word. This word here comes from, it's a compound word. It comes from two words. It means to twist or turn. And then it's got the preposition up. So to twist up, to turn up, or to come back, to convert, to stay up. Right? So the point was their life stayed up. It converted, it twisted upward. It's, in other words, most likely they had gone on to heaven because of their walk in Christ. But even more than that, their life surrounded Christ, was surrounded by Christ. And in fact, what we've heard over and over and over and over in Hebrews is to what? Endure. Endure. To have that eternal mindset. And their leaders had. Apparently their leaders had, because he's pointing them back to them. He says, remember them. Remember those ones who brought you the word. They preached the word of God to you. They taught you the truth. They set the standard of truth before you. Isn't that cool? See, that's my goal in pastoring this church, is to set the standard of truth before you, so that you, when you come across a situation and you have questions and you have problems, you go back to the word of truth. You go back to God's word. Don't take my word. Don't take any of our words. Go back to God's word. Who are the Bereans? Remember them? Paul says they're faithful. Why? Because they accepted what I said joyfully, but you know what? They went home and studied it to see if it was true, see if it was really in the word. That's faithful living. Because the word of God is the truth of God. That's where we have to stay. So my goal has always been with you folks, I don't know if I've ever told you that, but my goal has always been, my underlying goal is to point you to the word, because the word is truth. And that's what these leaders had done. And in fact, so much so that they had twisted up, they had turned up, they had stayed in, they had, that word has so much meaning. I can't even begin to... It's how they lived. It's how they died. It's what they lived for. It's whether they followed the Lord right up until their death, their endurance over and over. That mindset on eternity. Just because they're gone doesn't mean that the people should forget about their teaching and their life. He says, consider all that. And in considering all that, look what he says. Imitate their faith. The word imitate is, I don't want to get this wrong, it's mimeomai. Mimeomai. We get our word mimic from. Mimic. Imitate. In other words, do just exactly the same thing. Do just exactly the same thing. What had they done? Well, number one, they had gone on to faith. They had gone on to salvation. So his general admonition is, those of you who were not wanting to stay in the fellowship, we're not wanting to follow the truth of God's word, wanting to go back under a religious system so you can be all right, go on to that faith, that end of faith, and not only that, but twist up, turn up, stay up, stay going in, because guess what? You will die. And the fact is, you can go. You can die up. I don't know how to even express this term. It's a great term to that conduct, that issue or meaning and manner of life. He says, consider that. Really look closely at copy their lives. If their life was consistent with their teaching of truth, all this would help them understand the importance of true faith and help those saved to live it out, even in persecution. Also not to leave for convenience or comfort, but to persevere. And I think that was his point. But he also brings this in. Look what he says in verse 8. Because this is, remember who you serve. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes and forever. Now, I was talking to Chris yesterday about the passage here. And she said, well, it looks like three different concepts. You look at the three different verses, it's three different concepts. No, I believe they're all interrelated. Because he's talking about, specifically, he says, remember those who taught you the word of God. Remember, because Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, whom Israel had been waiting for ages. Who the priests in Israel were still waiting for, the people of Israel were still waiting for. That same Jesus is the Christ, whom these folks, some of them were wanting to go back under that system that was looking for them, and whose many of them, or some of them, needed to believe in, that Jesus as the Christ. He's the same, he always was, always will be the same, showing that Jesus worked through their leaders in the past, and he can work through them now. He helped their leaders in the past to solidify the word, the truth of the word of God, and he can help them now to be solid in the truth of the word of God. He helped the leaders in the past to twist up. He can help them to twist up, to turn up, or to live out the manner of their life as God's word says. Not only that, but to be ushered into heaven. And he can even help them. Remember, we're talking about people who were fearful of death, who were fearful and had a true fear because it was happening, of persecution, of problems. So he's saying, look, remember them. Remember these who taught you that, because Jesus Christ is the same then as he is now, as he ever will be. He is absolutely the same. It's a reminder of who Jesus is and that he will continue to be faithful even in persecution. Look at the next verse, because he says to remember that what is vital is on the inside. Verse 9. And remember, keep this in the context because it reverts back to those who taught them. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. He said, do not be carried away. The word, and by the way, that word not is that word may, and it's a, it's like an emphatic no. A huge no. All right, so this writer is very intentional here. He's wanting them to catch this. He says, do not be carried away. Very carefully, do not be carried away. The word carried away means borne along. And it's an imperative, so it's like a command. But it's also in the present tense and it's in the passive voice. So he's saying, do not let yourself be borne along by this. Stop being carried along by this. Christ hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. He says, stop being carried along by what? Varied and strange teachings. Varied and strange. The word varied means diverse. The word strange means unfamiliar or unheard of. You know, one of the things that they were being borne along by some of them was that it's okay to have Jesus. It's okay, but you know what? You need to get under that religious system and do all that the tenets of our religion say. So that you can appease God, so that you can do what God said. And the problem with that, of course, is that system was looking for the Messiah. When Jesus came, he wasn't just a sacrifice, he was the propitiation. He was the satisfaction for our sins. He didn't just cover over our sins, he was the total satisfaction for our sins. So therefore, the whole religious system changed. It changed from the old covenant to the new. It changed from the law to grace. And we learned that in the two mountains. Remember, we went through over the two mountains in the last chapter. Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. The law and grace. We saw the value of grace. And in fact, he says it here. But he says, be careful. Make sure you're not borne along by diverse or unfamiliar or unheard of. The word teachings is doctrine. Doctrine. I've had two people come and talk to me who said they were prophets, and I'm not. In these specific cases, I'm not sure why they have to believe that they're prophets, because most of the stuff they said didn't come true. But anyway, but I think it's just to feel important or to feel used by God. It's to feel like God has given them something special or something, so that they can feel important. And the problem is, God made you special. He has made each one of us important. We don't need anything extra from God to be important. But anyway, these two have come to me. They came to me, and they both had papers with prophecies. And, you know, some of them were really fascinating prophecies, like, you know, it's going to be an earthquake. Okay. You know, there's going to be a flood. Okay. But some of them were really strange. And to me, and I even pointed it out to one of them, to me, it went against God's word, because God's word had talked about whatever it was. I can't even remember what it was, but I pointed that out. He said, but God has given me special knowledge. I said, okay, well, I think we're done. Because if it goes against God's word, it's not from God. Because God's word is our standard of truth. And so if it goes against it, it's not from God. So anyway, you may know people who, you know, are prophets like that. But anyway, it was strange truth. And so thereby it was clicked with me to be careful with it. But what he's saying is, be careful to check out any teaching by the Word of God. And I would encourage you to do that. Any teaching, any truth by the Word of God, because only God's Word is truth. But look what it says. It says, do not be carried away by varying and strange teaching, because it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Do you notice that? It's good for the heart. Where's the heart? That's our inner self, our inner being. It's good for our heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods. What are the foods good for? Outer being, right? Not just that, but we'll get to the foods part, okay? Because it's not saying we shouldn't eat. Nothing like that. But he says it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, because the heart is what is on the inside, and grace, as opposed to the law, because he's already opposed it to the law several times, but grace is the unmerited favor of God, the favor of God even though we don't deserve it. He says our heart can be strengthened by that. The word strengthened means to come, cause to believe, or to be established in belief, to be secure in belief. So it's good for our heart to be secured in belief by God's grace, not by the law. And in fact, he says that when he says, not by foods, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. We're talking about the religious system that they were wanting to go back under, some of them.
But the words foods there, it referred back to the sacrifices, back to the old covenant system where they had rites, they had feasts, they had the showbread, they had the altars. All of these things, several of them involved foods, involved what they ate, involved eating a certain way. All right, so he's talking about that religious system. He says at the end there, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. So occupied were the priests and all the people of Israel. The religious system of Israel. It was all exterior rite, external rite, and ceremonies. All of those things. There was no benefit to the heart. There was no benefit to the heart there. He says, no, it's by grace. Because how do you have salvation? By grace, through faith. The law's demands will never save you or sustain you. You will never be able to keep all the law's demands. But grace? But grace? I love Billy Goat Salvation. But God. But grace? But Jesus? It changes the heart. It saves us. By grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift. It's not by our works. It's by him who loves us, him who sent Jesus Christ. So his point here is that the truth that was taught to them, to stand with it, not only that, but to follow through, to imitate those who taught that, to follow through with that, to salvation, and then to stand for a minute. To stand for a minute. Now, we had a good go around in Sunday school. I missed some of it. Marvin took it, and I really deeply appreciate it because I wanted to save my voice what I could. But he had an interesting take, what was from Ecclesiastes, wasn't it? And so, what do we do? What do we do if you agree with them or not? What do? You look at it. Where do you go to truth? Well, let's see. I want to go to my mind for truth. Let's see. No, that's stupid. I'm sorry. That's silly. Let's go with that. Oops, sorry. Right? No, because what? My mind varies. My mind's off many times, especially now. Since my head's off, you know? So. My whole sinus seal's off. But we have the truth of God's word right here. So we go to the truth. So we look at the truth. And this makes us dig, and I love it. Because we need to dig to find out the truth. It's great. Right? And no, we're not always going to agree with each other. But we do agree. If we do agree that the word is truth, then we can. Then we can agree. All right? So we go back to the word of truth. And grace is the truth that Jesus gave his only begotten son for us. That's grace. That's because we don't deserve it. But he loves us so much that he did it. That grace changes our heart. And you know, the ones who were so occupied, those who were under that law system, were so occupied with all the ceremonies and all the foods and all the showbreads and everything like that. It didn't benefit their heart. It just showed them, what was the law for? It was to show us how evil we are. It was to show us our transgressions, thereby making us dependent upon him, dependent upon grace. So it saves us. Grace can save us. So if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, he, through his grace, sent you his son. He wanted you to be his child. He wants you still to be his child. So I would invite you to know him, not just know about him, but know him through God's word, through the truth of the word, not my opinion, but the truth of the word. It also teaches us to live right, according to Titus. Titus chapter 2 says the grace of God is the one that teaches us to live righteously and godly. The grace of God has appeared, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's what teaches us how to live. Not only that, but it teaches us to look forward to the return of Christ, according to that passage. But it's the reason that
that their former leaders taught the truth and even died for Christ. They should mimic that type of faith. And we should also. We should also. To stand on the truth of God's word as our standard of truth. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit will never, ever go against his word in how he teaches us or moves in our heart. Never go against his word. Satan will. Satan will. What did Satan tell Eve? Oh, God didn't mean it when he said that. He just knows you're going to be as smart as him. That was adding to God's word, wasn't it? Because God said, do not touch of it, and the day you do, you will die. And they did. They ate it, and they died spiritually. All right? Yes, Adam or Eve was deceived, and Adam wasn't. But in spite of, they did it because they went against the word, because Satan added to the word. He'll always add to it. He'll always encourage that. But you can always go back to the word. You can stand firm on God's word. Study the word. Know the word. Follow the word. Check any teaching by the word. Don't get passively moved along by some new or exciting message unless it flows from the word. Because God's word is truth. If you have not trusted Christ to be your Savior, I would love to show you from God's word how you can have that relationship. Not go under a religious system, but have that relationship. But if you have, stand on the word. Stand on the word. God gave it. God wanted us to have it. God wants us to live according to his love. He wants us to be pure in our doctrine, pure in our teaching from his word. Always check it by the word. Always check it by the word. These people, he said, hey, remember those people? Remember the ones who bought you, who died for the word, who lived out their life according to the word? Mimic that. Imitate that. Live for the word. Live for Christ. Christ is our living and abiding word, and he has given us his truth right here. Let's close in prayer. Thank you so much, Lord God, for who you are and who you have made us as your children. Father, I praise you for the privilege of having your word freely and openly, of knowing your truth, of having the Holy Spirit in us to decipher the truth. Lord God, it's so easy to get carried along, especially when there's somebody who's eloquent of speech or somebody who's really smart, or Father, there's so many voices out in the world that are so convincing. Use human logic or whatever. But Father God, what you have in your word is truth, and we desire to stick by it because that's where your blessing is. That's where your truth is. And we want the belt of truth because that's what protects us. Shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, that protects us from those fiery darts. And those fiery darts of doubt and despair and pandemic and everything, all those darts, he's so alive and active. But Lord, don't let us get carried away by what your word says, varied and strange teachings. Help us, Lord, to stand firm on your truth, because your truth has been around always. Thank you so much. Help us to remember those who taught us, Lord, as we think back on those who have gone on before us, and as we consider their life and their turning up. And Lord, help us to mimic that. Help us, Lord God, to especially follow that faith.
We love you. Help us to lean upon the Holy Spirit and to utilize the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.